We're talking today with Roy Lee Lindsay, the Oklahoma Pork Council. Roy Lee, let's talk about several things, but let's start with exports. We're seeing the Trump administration has signaled mid-August is when they're going to be starting a conversation officially with Canada and Mexico on NAFTA. I know in the case of the pork industry, NAFTA has worked pretty well.
Yeah, we've been very pleased with the impacts of NAFTA on our ability to sell pork into Mexico and into Canada. They're now two of the largest markets we have, both in terms of volume and value. For our product around the world. And today, the way production's structured in the United States and with what we're producing, we're exporting 29% of all the pork we produced in May left the country. Not all that went to Canada and Mexico, but it did leave the country. And so we're becoming more and more dependent on exports. We've got growth going on in the industry, and that growth is aimed at capturing more of international trade. I mean, we're becoming more of one planet, if you will, of one global economy in that regard. And to ignore that, I think, says we're not paying attention to what's really happening around the world. 40% of the world's people don't live in North America. You know, they live in Asia. They live they consume more meat, more protein than anywhere else in the world. When we look at things like the TPP that the Trump administration's backed out of, what did that mean for U.S. pork producers? Well, it was going to open markets for our product in a part of the world that pork was their meat of choice, that overwhelmingly pork was their meat of choice. And what that access would have meant to us was tremendous, both in terms of volume, countries that would take products that we don't normally consume in the United States that they're happy to have, that they want. And that provides value back to folks here in the United States that are raising hogs. We've got a number of new processing plants coming online. And this summer, starting next month as well into September. And the goal with an overwhelming amount of that product is to ship it overseas. And so when you start talking about let's open up a trade agreement like NAFTA and let's go renegotiate it, I think you've seen a number of our ag senators. I think you've seen a number of others come back in and go, let's be cautious with what we do with agriculture. If you need to work on something else, if there's another part of this trade deal we ought to talk about and maybe rework, okay. But let's be very cautious with how that impacts agriculture as we go. Most folks would accept that we have a large trade deficit, meaning we import more goods than we export. But the one place we don't have a trade deficit is in agriculture. Mm-hmm. We export far more goods in agriculture than we ever import. And so when you start tinkering with that because you want to adjust the balance of trade, if you will, or reduce the trade deficit, if you impact agriculture in doing that, you're only going to increase the trade deficit, not make it smaller.
I know that, you know, when you start looking at the overall export picture, you mentioned Asia. Asia, the North American countries, these are all just really hot markets now.
Yeah, they are. As we think about, you know, we always thought South Korea was going to be a big market for us. But I don't think I don't think of South Korea as being that big a country. But when you have a country with a growing economy, people that want to spend money, the first thing that people do generally when they get more money, more disposable income, is they improve their diet, and they improve their diet by adding protein. And that's a part of the world that pork is the protein they want to add. So when you think about a country that's growing like South Korea, you think about Vietnam for that matter as their economy grows. And then ultimately China with that sheer number of people. Dr. Steve Meyer likes to say when you take a billion times anything, you get a really big number. And he's right. You know, when you start thinking about their sheer population and their desire for pork and their desire to grow their diet and to improve their quality of life, that opportunity to just get into that market, to have some say there, is tremendous for us. So when we pull out of a trade deal like TPP, because for whatever reason behind pulling out, if you don't start replacing that immediately with bilateral agreements, country to country, individual countries, you run the risk of losing market access. We've already seen the European Union complete a bilateral trade deal with Japan. And Japan is, for a relatively small nation, if you will, tremendous market for us in terms of value. They like high-value pork cuts, and they buy lots of them. And we're still waiting to get started on that bilateral trade agreement. We got concessions from Japan in TPP that were very good for agriculture. Now, can we translate those into a bilateral agreement? And so if the administration believes that these multinational agreements like TPP are not where we ought to be, then let's get started on doing some individual negotiations. Let's look at the agreements that we've got. I mean, in agriculture, NAFTA has been, I would say, a godsend. And let's make sure we don't mess those up, you know, throw out the baby with the bathwater, if you will, just because we want to fix something over here. Because we've seen over time when trade disputes came up, countries look at places, groups that they know will scream the loudest and squeal the loudest, and then they put tariffs and duties and other things on it. We went through it with Mexicans on the trucking issue several years ago, where it didn't have anything to do with pork, but their retaliatory tariffs were on pork because they knew that pork industry would go to work in Washington to try to help them get that situation resolved. When we're exporting 29% of our total product, we can't afford a hiccup like that. When we've got more pigs coming down the market, we've got to have a down the pipe, if you will, to go to market. We've got to have a place for them to go. And anything that disrupts international trade today could be a real risk for us domestically.
Interrupting trade, one possibility that could be out there that could happen inside the U.S. might be a disease outbreak. We've always talked about, and hogs are pretty susceptible to FMD, foot and mouth disease. That could be a game changer.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the black swan event, if you will, that everybody is if you want to think about things that could keep you awake at night, that's one of them that, you know, just what do you do about that? And for as long as I've been at the Oklahoma Pork Council, I'm working on 19 years now, we've really never gone into a farm bill with an ask of Congress, help us do something. We've always believed we could do certain things on our own, and we were better suited to make market decisions, those kinds of things, as we go. As we look at the 18 farm bill, what we are asking for is for USDA to upgrade its FMD vaccine bank. We don't have enough vaccine in the country today. We don't have access to vaccine on a ready basis. And the cost is significant. There's no question. It's $150 million a year over 5 years, and that's a big number. But when you start thinking about the impacts to agriculture, and not just the pork industry, because FMD would affect sheep, it'll affect cattle, you know, beef and dairy, there's a tremendous exposure, if you will, to that kind of disease. And we're not, as a country in that regard, prepared with the vaccines readily available for us to come in and stop an outbreak before it spreads. We know that if we get a disease, we're going to lose our export markets almost immediately. And the vaccine route, if you will, using vaccinations, will help us get the disease under control and get those markets opened again. Because if you just think about it in these terms, if you're 29% of your products going overseas today and you suddenly lose all that market, where's that product going to go? Well, it's going to stay right here, and we're going to have to try to figure out how everybody in the country eats, you know, half again as much pork as they've been eating for us to consume that kind of quantity. And that's just not likely to happen. So tremendous risk and exposure for all of agriculture in that regard, because if you have an impact like that on cattle or pork or dairy, it's also going to impact your soybean guys, your corn growers, because if suddenly I can't buy feed, I'm going to buy less corn. I'm going to buy less soybean. The impact will ripple throughout the whole agricultural economy, and the impact to the economy of something like that makes the $150 million over 5 years a very, very small number.
Executive Director of the Oklahoma Pork Council, Roy Lee Lindsay. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.